Blog Talk Radio.
I'm excited about the word that will come forth on tonight. I'm excited to break some things down. I am, wow. You know, I have to honestly say that there's a lot was going on in this world that we live in, and you could easily get sucked up into it. You could easily get sucked up into it, but glory to God, by his grace and his mercy, he makes a way for us to escape. We don't have to be affected by what's going on around us when we truly, truly know that we know that we know. And I'm going to get into that. How do we know that we know? How do we truly know that we know? And I'm going to get into that tonight. You know, if you've been following me for the last couple of months, you may say my the things that I've been bringing forth has truly been a ministry. You know, you got ministry of deliverance. You got, you know, ministry that focused strictly on deliverance. You got some ministries that focus on prosperity. You got some, you know, you got people that focus on certain things. And my ministry, I believe that God is having me focus on salvation. Salvation. Because at the end of it all, that's what's going to really matter. And so I noticed that a lot of the messages that God has been giving me has been geared towards salvation and really understanding salvation. And I thank God that he gives me the ability, he uses me to bring practical principles unto perception based on the word of God. He breaks it down so that a baby, even a baby, or a young person, should I say, or a baby in Christ will be able to understand. I feel like many of us have been, you know, and I'm not taking anything away from churches. This is a general statement. But I feel like many have been going to church and they're still on milk. And that's good in the beginning because milk will give you what you need. But as your body begins to grow, as you become, formula is only meant for infants. And at a certain age, formula will no longer get that infant full. It'll just tease that infant. And so many of us who are serving God or who are Christians or believers, we're still on formula. We're still drinking milk. And we're wondering why we are in starvation mode. We are in starvation mode because we are not feeding ourselves what we need in order for our spirit to, ooh, somebody hear me now, in order for our spirit to grow. We have to feed that spirit. Otherwise, that spirit will become, it will be malnutrition. And if it's malnutrition, it's not any good because it's, but it's that spirit that activates the word of God. It's that spirit that gives us guidance. It's that spirit that teaches us how to walk this life that we call a Christian life. When that spirit is not properly nourished, then it doesn't, it's unable to do its job. And that's why we see so many carnal Christians. That's why we see so many of us struggle. Even, you know, we struggle. You know, you struggle. I struggle. And oftentimes when I start struggling, I start asking myself, okay, why am I struggling? And the first thing that comes to mind for me is when I'm struggling is my spirit malnutrition? Am I giving my spirit what it needs to grow? You know, am I causing my spirit to have hunger pain? You know, and we know you can tell when a spirit is malnutrition from the individual that is residing in. How do you tell, Coach D, when a spirit is malnutrition? The first way you tell is because you could tell by a person's attitude. You know, normally if somebody's carrying around a negative or a bad attitude, you got to ask them, where have you been spending time? How are you feeding your spirit? Sometimes when a person's spirit is malnutrition, you know, because you'll see, maybe sometimes it could be, not all the time, but sometimes you'll see a vast amount of trouble and worry and problems. You know, every time you turn around, a person's going through something. So they may want to take a look at What are they feeding their spirit? And so tonight, I'm going to talk about, first of all, I'm going to talk about something we all understand, because I'm going to break it down for us, because we need to get this. We need to get this so that we can get on to the things that the bigger things. We want to get away from the milk and the formula. We want to get into the steaks. We want to get into the burgers, you know, of the spirit of the word of God. We want to get into the heavenly stuff. We want to get into having revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge only comes when the spirit is fed, when it's healthy, when it has its proper nutrition. Because when that spirit is fed and when it's healthy, it will begin to reveal the things of God to you. You won't be wondering what's going on in the world. You won't be wondering, you won't be worried about what's going on in the world, because you will understand, because God will begin to reveal things to you. He will begin to reveal things to you through his word, through other mature believers, through dreams and visions and ideas. God will begin to speak to you. He's speaking to the spirit inside of you. So we're going to talk about that on today, because there's going to be, I understand that in the listening audience, I have a mixed variety of people. I have some people that are still on milk, and this is not a put down for you, but you're going to have to eventually come off the milk. So that's okay that you're on milk today, but you're going to have to make some decisions to do some things that's going to cause you to graduate from milk to something more solid. Amen. And then I know I have listening audience that do understand. They can now go to something a little bit more solid. And then I have mature Christian listeners that really understand, and they could get a good prime rib or a good ribeye, and they know how to chew it, and they know how to digest it, and they know how to, you know, they get the nutrition, all the nutritional value that comes out of that, the protein that they need. So I'm going to try to break this down for you scholars that's on the phone, you theologians, bear with us here so that, you know, it might seem a little bit boring to you. But if you can tonight, if you could fast on liquid for a minute here, I feel like it may bless you as well. Amen. So I want to talk about something we all know about on tonight, and I believe that this is what the Lord would have us to know. Again, as I was sharing with you all last week, due to some technical difficulties, we did not have a show in the week before. I had a very emotional show. Those who've been following me for years, for the last 6 years, 7 years, you know one thing about Coach D, I'm very transparent in my walk. This platform is a journey of my personal walk, and I'm transparent so that as I go through the ditches and as I go through the rivers and as I go through the valleys and as I reach mountain peaks, I want to share that with you, my listening audience. Why? Because Revelation 12:11 tells us that they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by the words of their testimony. That's us. When we're transparent about how God brought us through, when we're transparent, we make mistakes. If we could be honest with ourselves and if we could be transparent with others, somebody else is either making the same mistake or they're getting ready to make that mistake. And when you hold on to your testimony and choose not to share it with your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a travesty, because you could have saved somebody from going through the same thing, or you could have saved somebody that they could come out of where they're at, because you've been there, and your testimony gives them hope. Your testimony gives them hope, and it generally leads them to Christ. Amen? And then the other part of 12:11, as it says that they overcame them by the blood, that's the first thing. They have to be part of the family. They, by the words of their testimony, we have to share our testimony. And the other end to that was, and they love them not even unto death. In other words, we are not afraid of the enemy. We are not afraid. We are willing to die. We are willing to die for Christ. We are willing to die in sharing the good news. If you think about it, all the disciples, you know, the key disciples, when you think about Peter and you think about Paul, and you think of, do you know they all died? And most of them died maybe some not, you know, some not so great death. But they were willing to die for what they believed. And God is trying to get us to a point. Are we willing to take on the cross? Are we willing to die for what we believe? Are we willing to share with the world what we believe? Even if it's unto death, are we willing to do that? And sometimes I don't know who we are. I can't speak for everyone else. But sometimes I have to ask myself, Denise, are you really ready? Coach D, are you ready? Because if I'm ready, then why am I in fear? Why am I causing something like COVID-19 to paralyze me? Why am I causing something like, the things that's going on with racism and injustice and, you know, those things that's going on that's causing people to fear? Why would I cause those things to fear? Because if the reality of it is that I'm willing to die for Christ, then I can't fear those things. Amen? So we're going to get into it. I have my spiel, but let's get into the word. Let's get into some lesson here. If you have pens and papers, that would be great. Take some notes. Feel free to take notes. I will be going through some scriptures because at the end of the day, that's what the truth is. The truth is the word of God as led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And so we want to build those spirits so that this word will make sense. Otherwise, it's just letter. And we'll be dictated. We'll be dictated by the negativity that we hear. You know, we as Christians, we're persecuted. We hear the negativity constantly of, well, the books are in the Bible are missing. And how do we know it's true? And, you know, how do we know it wasn't a manipulation? And, you know, I could go on and on and on with the negative things we hear in these days. And it's nothing new up under the sun, but the negative things we hear about the word of God. People are always challenging us. How do you really know? How do you know that this is for you? How do you know it's not for you? And what I would tell you is this. If you are not activating the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you will never know it's for you. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you are not utilizing the very Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you to walk you through this journey, I'm guaranteeing you, you won't understand it. I'm guaranteeing you, it won't make sense. I'm guaranteeing you that you will fall to other belief systems. You will do that because you can't do this on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to get into the word, as I said once and for all. I want to explain something, and this is something that I believe everybody knows about, and I just want to make sure you know about it because right now there's a lot going on. People are dropping like flies. They're dying. You know, every time we turn around, somebody's dying from, quote, COVID-19, unquote, or somebody's dying from police brutality, or somebody's dying from something. Amen. We know that death is a for sure thing. And so one of the things we talk about and we know and many of us do and some of us believe in it and some don't is life insurance. Life insurance provides, if you don't know what life insurance is, and many of us do, life insurance provides a benefit to the beneficiary as designated by the policy owner. Okay, so let me break that down a little bit. So life insurance is a policy, it's an insurance policy that says, should the insured die, that whoever the beneficiary is will receive benefits, and those benefits could be for final expenses, or the benefits could be something that will make sure that the insured's loved ones are able to continue to live a decent life. Normally, when the insured dies, it takes, in many cases, you think of a husband and wife. If the husband passed and he's the main breadwinner, then when he passed, his income passes along with him. He's no longer bringing in the income. And so the insurance policy is something that will make sure that give the family, the wife, something to help take care of her when he's gone. And so, again, the life insurance policy provides a benefit to the beneficiary as designated by the policy owner. Now, the policy owner, in many cases, the policy owner is also the insured. The policy owner can't be the beneficiary. In some cases, the policy owner is not the insured, but the policy owner can also be. So the policy owner could also be the beneficiary if you look at it that way. Then you're going to bear with me here. Stay with me. It may sound, but just stick with me and you'll get it. And so if you know anything about an insurance policy, when you go to purchase an insurance policy, especially an insurance policy that provides value, loan value or cash value, they require that you take a physical. They want to make sure that you're in good shape in order to get that policy. So you might have to go through a physical before you get the policy. They do have some policies that don't require physicals. Those are called term policies. They're just for a moment. I'm not going to get really deep with this, but I want you to understand the basic fact of life insurance, why people get them, and why it's important that you have life insurance in the natural. And so in the natural, we know that you want to have life insurance because you want to make sure your loved ones are not left in debt. You want to make sure that they're okay when you leave. And whatever the amount of the policy is that you purchase, then that face value, that's called the face value, will be what will be left to your loved ones upon your death. It's critical. Life insurance is critical to cover these final expenses. It's critical to ensure that your loved ones are going to be okay and that they're taken care of. That's why people buy life insurance. And we all know, we've seen or have experienced in our own lives, our family lives, people who did not plan. They did not want to talk about life insurance, nor did they want to purchase life insurance. And then they die and the family is in a critical situation. And then it results in GoFundMes and trying to borrow money from family members and selling barbecue dinners or whatever it takes, car washes, to gather up money to bury this family member who was, in essence, irresponsible to not consider death. We all have to consider death because that's one thing that's guaranteed. We all will leave this earth, and we have to consider death in the natural. We have to consider that. And that's what life insurance is for. And oftentimes we say, well, I can't afford life insurance. I don't make enough money for life insurance. Oh, I'm not going to worry about that right now. Well, I'm going to be dead, so I don't care. That's one of the most selfish acts that we could do is say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about life insurance. But when I die, I don't have to worry about it. Let that be somebody else's problem. So we know that life insurance is important. And if you didn't think it was important before tonight, hopefully you know tonight that it is important and it is something you need to look into. You need to look into life insurance. There's a policy for everybody. You'll find a policy that'll fit your budget, but you can't live without it. You need it. And you really need the life insurance. So now that brings me. So as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual, because the word of God tells us, as it is in heaven, let it also be on earth. And so we're talking about a natural thing, natural death. We're talking about life insurance, covering last expenses and helping out the family members. But I want to also talk to you about a spiritual life insurance. And that spiritual life insurance that I'm going to talk to you about tonight is salvation. Salvation. So I'm going to take and say it is critical that when you leave this earth in the natural, that you have a spiritual insurance. That you have a spiritual insurance. And so in this spiritual insurance, we already know, I'm going to break it down to you, because in this spiritual insurance, God is the policy owner. He is the policy owner, and Jesus Christ is the insurer. And once we accept the gift of salvation, then and only then do we become the beneficiary. Now, remember I told you in the natural that once the insurer dies, then the beneficiary receives the benefit. And in this case, Jesus is the insured. And when we accept the gift of salvation, then we become the beneficiary. And that's when we begin to receive the blessings and the promises of God. And we find those, every policy has a declaration page, and every policy has pages. And the pages gives you the terms and the conditions of the policy. There are terms and conditions in that policy. There are things that will disqualify you from getting the benefit in the natural. And so it is in the spiritual. In the natural, they have what they call a contestability period. The contestability period is the period that says if you die within 2 years of this policy being issued, you may not receive a benefit. So that's the contestability period. Why do they have that? It's to protect the insurance company from people who are not being integral. For people who's going to get policies, you know, people go buy policies and then turn around and kill themselves or turn around and kill the insured, you know, so they could collect the money. So suicide is another disqualifier. Doing an illegal act, getting killed in the midst of an illegal act is a disqualifier. That could cause your beneficiaries not to get paid. Amen? So the same in the spiritual. There are some disqualifiers. There are some conditions. There are some terms that we have to know in order to receive, become a beneficiary, to receive the gift of salvation. The first condition is, as it tells us in Romans 10:9, that the first condition is that we have to declare with our mouth. What is it that we're declaring with our mouth? We're declaring that Jesus is Lord. We're declaring that he is Lord. And then that's the first condition. But the second condition, it don't end there, but the second condition is saying that we have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. You will be a beneficiary. Hallelujah. So that's one of the conditions. There's many conditions in the Bible. But if you never read the Bible, you won't know the terms and the conditions. If you never read your life insurance policy, you won't know the terms and conditions. You won't know what disqualifies you from receiving the benefits. You won't know what benefits you have. There are some life insurance policies where you could withdraw cash. Those policies are generally whole life policies. They earn cash value. And because they earn cash value, you have access to the cash. You could take loans against the policy. And if you took a loan from your policy and the insurer died, then they would subtract the loan from the face value. So, see, that's a benefit of that policy while the insured is still living. Well, guess what? We have benefits of our life policy, our spiritual life policy. The first benefit is that we're saved, that we're going to have eternal life. That's a benefit. The second benefit is that we could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Now, I could go through from benefit to benefit, what our benefits are. One of our benefits is the grace of God, God's grace and mercy. Our benefits are that he tells us that if we delight ourselves in him, that he will give us the desires of our heart. You see all these benefits that we get by becoming beneficiaries to the kingdom? And so these are all the benefits, but again, we have to read the word of God so that we can understand what the promises and the benefits are, and also that we can understand the conditions. There are conditions. There are requirements. You know, the first is just acknowledging and believing, confessing and believing in the heart. But there's more conditions to it because he goes on to tell us in John 14:14-16, he says, first of all, if you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. But he goes on to say, this is a condition. So he said, I will do anything in my name. If you know anything that you ask in my name, if you love me, you will do what I command. So that's a condition. That's a condition of being a beneficiary. If you love me, you will do what I command. In other words, we can't say we love God and just be out there doing anything. We can't say we love God and be out there doing anything. We cannot We cannot. He gave us provision for sin. That's what Jesus came for. He gave us provision for sin, but he did not. There's not a provision for a lifestyle. Because when you operate in a lifestyle of sin, then what you're actually saying is that I'm not going to obey you. And he says here in John 14:14-16 is that if you love me, what John 14:15, if you love me, you will do what I command. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. So then he goes on to tell us that, first of all, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. But it says, if you love me, you will do what I command. And then he goes on to say, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That helper is the Holy Spirit. That helper is what I was talking about earlier, is that if we leave it malnutrition, if we don't feed it, if we continue to give it something that's not according to its growth, you cannot drink milk from the time you are a toddler up until the time you are a senior. It will not give you the nutritional value that you need to grow properly. If you can even live to become a senior by doing that. So there are certain things that our body requires in order for us to grow properly. You know, we need our fruit and we need our vegetables and we need proteins. And believe it or not, we need good fat. You know, a lot of people are vegan. And if they're not careful, they will become sick. And their body will begin to lose definition because our body requires a certain amount of fat. And same thing in the spiritual. If we're not spending time with God, if we're not spending time in his word, if we're not spending time in prayer, if we're not spending time in worship, if we're not spending time in praise, then we are not feeding our spirit. And when we're not feeding our spirit, it's so easy for us to go amok. It's so easy for us to say and do things that's not pleasing to God. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Not one is perfect. Not one is perfect. But there's gotta be, it's gotta be an effort. It can't, you know, there used to be an old saying that my grandmother would say is that his intentions are good, but his efforts are not worth the darn. And we need good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Amen? And we good intentions just not going to do it. Just being a good person is not going to do it. There's some things that he requires of us. There's things that he requires of us. The word of God tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. So I can sacrifice every Thursday. But I can sacrifice every Thursday for another 20 years. But if I'm not being obedient, then the sacrifice is just that. People are sacrificing in ministry. People are sacrificing getting up to go to church every Sunday. But it's just a sacrifice. Because when they're not doing ministry, oh, Jesus, when they're not doing ministry, when they're not at church, when they're not sacrificing, then they're not being obedient. And God is looking for people that's going to be obedient. He's looking for people who love him and follow his command that's going to do what he tells them to do. And when they miss the mark and they don't do what he tells them to do, he's looking for people that have a repentant heart. David had a heart after God. David was the biggest mess up at times. David was a mess up. If you know the story of David, I mean, he was an adulterer and a murderer. And I mean, he just, you know, but the thing about David is that when David knew, when he realized he missed the mark, when he realized he blew it, David had a heart. He knew how to, he had a repentant heart. He knew how to cry before the throne of grace. He knew how to cry before God and ask God to forgive him, to ask God to direct him. He would say, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And his big thing was is he didn't want God to take his presence from him. I'm like David. Man, I blow it. And when I blow it, I'm like David because I want to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. And please don't take your spirit from me. Allow me to stay in your presence because I need you. And left unto my own self, I will blow it. Amen. And many of us feel that. So many of us feel that we know we need them. We know we need the assurance. We need the assurance of salvation. And we need to be the beneficiaries. I want to be the beneficiary of the death of Christ. But thank God that he rose again. And unlike in the natural, when the insurer dies, eventually, if he's gone to the right place, he'll rise again. It says the dead in Christ will rise. So, but we know that Christ rose again and that he's sitting on the right hand of the throne with God. We know that he's sitting there. And so we know that we have life after this life. We know that we have eternal life, that we'll spend the rest of our lives with him, magnifying and glorifying and worshiping him. That's what the word says, that we will just be praising and worshiping God all the time. And so we want to be the beneficiary. We want to understand the spiritual insurance policy. We need to get into the word of God. And if you have not received, if you have not activated the spirit of God that is inside of you, that's something you need to pray and ask God, Lord, I need guidance. I need your Holy Spirit. I need direction. I need clarity. I need understanding. And God, he's faithful, and he'll give you that. He'll give you the wisdom. If you ask for it, he'll give it. And then go before him and say, when you begin to get into the word of God, and you're not understanding it, and it seems just a lot of this and thou and therefore and don't do, that's the letter. When you're reading the word of God, that's the letter if it just seems like you just can't get it. And you're going to have to get into the spirit so that you can get the revelation of the word. So when you read that word, see, that word is supposed to become life. It's not supposed to be dull. It's supposed to become life. That word is supposed to jump off the page. You're supposed to get a perception when you're reading the word of God. Religion will keep you in bondage. Religion will have you reading the thus and the thou. Guess what? You will never be able to walk in the righteousness of God in religion. And that's unfortunate. Religion killed Jesus. Religion killed Jesus. The Pharisees, the religious folks, they didn't believe who he was, and they killed him. But relationship is going to be what's going to help you walk this walk. That vertical personal relationship with Jesus, that vertical personal relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's what's going to help you walk the walk. That's going to be what's going to help you when you do blow it. That's going to help you get back on track because you won't be in condemnation, but you will be in conviction. See, when you are connected to God, when you're out of order, he convicts you. He'll remind you like, don't you dare. And then you're true to your conviction because, see, God didn't come into the world to condemn it, guilt, have you in guilt. You know, he know we're gonna blow it at times. He know we're gonna miss the mark. And he's never asking us to be. The enemy is what condemns you. The enemy will tell you that you're not right. The enemy will tell you that God can't love a sinner like you. The enemy will tell you how terrible you are. Do you remember what you used to be? See, the enemy is the accuser. He will continuously tell you about what you're not and what you haven't done. But God said he comes to give us life. And give us life more abundantly. And when we hear those words are supposed to come to life for us. When God says you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you, we should be able to see ourselves doing all things. when he, every time we read the scripture, we should be able to see it. We should be able to do what he tells us to do because we got a perception. Why? Because the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of us, this very Spirit of God living on the inside of us, is there to comfort us, is there to guide us, is there to convict us, is there to minister to us, is there to give us revelation knowledge, is there to tell us, oops, don't go that way. How many of us have been getting ready to go somewhere and all of a sudden we heard something say, don't go that way. And then we later found out that it was a terrible accident on that road. Or we later found out, you know, you have people that tell you every major disaster, 9/11. I can remember listening to some of the testimonies of the people during 9/11 whose lives were saved. And I can remember some people saying, well, yeah, for some reason, this day was unusual. I normally wake up and leave the house at 7, but for some reason today I just didn't want to wake up, and I didn't leave the house until 7:30. And that little 30-minute difference saved their lives because they weren't in that building when that plane crashed. People tell these kind of testimonies all the time where they say something, but that something is the Holy Spirit. That something is that is the Spirit of God on the inside of you, directing you and guiding you and navigating you through this thing called life. You know, there's people that's getting sick. There's people that's dying, supposedly COVID-19. But you're not. You're still here. If you're listening to this call, you're still here by God's grace. What made you different? You've been in some of the same Walmarts that people that went in Walmart and got sick. You've been in some of the same places that other people went to that got sick. I worked for the airline industry, and me and my coworkers have been at work day one from COVID-19. And I'm not saying some may have not been affected by that, but there's so many more of us that haven't, praise God, only by God's grace, because we're coming into contact with people every day. And I'm not bragging. I know it's just by the grace of God that we're still healthy. That we're still healthy. But you got to listen, too. You got to know that Holy Spirit. You need to listen. He's there to help protect us. He's there to help guide us. He's there to help us understand God's word. We don't know what's going on in this earth. We've heard theories. We've heard conspiracies. We see a lot of stuff going on we don't understand. We've heard about 5G towers. We see people dying. We see people protesting. There's a lot going on in the natural body. That's stressful. But when you know that you know, then you truly know. When you know whose you are and who you are, then you begin to understand that it's not that don't lean into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. That's what we have to understand. And when you know that you know that you know, then you know that. And the Holy Spirit helps to remind us of that. Amen. The Holy Spirit helps to remind us of that. And we want to make sure that we are following the terms and the conditions. We want to make sure that we understand what this policy promises us. What does this policy benefit us? I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 28, and then I'm going to start bringing this toward the close. I will open up the lines on tonight for anybody that have a question or a comment or even just want to share a testimony. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 28, and I want to go to I'm going to start with chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to read this because John 14 told us that that if we love God, we will follow his commands. He tells us that if we love him, we follow his commands, we can ask whatever we will in his name, and he'll give it to us. That's what he told us. I want to show you how important it is to God. We show him that we love him by our obedience. We show him that we love him by our obedience, not our sacrifice. And so John 14 tells us that. And then in concluding, Deuteronomy 28, and I'm going to go start with verse 1. Now, if you will be careful to obey the Lord your God and follow all his commands that I tell you today, the Lord your God will put you high above all nations on earth. If you will obey the Lord your God, all these blessings will come to you and be yours. He will bless you in the city and in the field. He will bless you and give you many children. And some of us don't want that. He will bless your land and give you good crops. He will bless your animals and let them have many babies. He will bless you with cows and lambs. He will bless your baskets and pans and fill them with food. He will bless you at all times in everything you do. The Lord will help you defeat your enemies who come to fight against you. Your enemies will come against you one way, but they will run away from you seven different ways. The Lord will bless you and fill your barn. He will bless you in everything you do. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he has given you. If you follow the Lord your God and obey his command, he will do what he promised. The Lord will make you his own special people. Then all the people in that land will see that you are called to be the Lord's people, and they will be afraid of you. And the Lord will give you many good things. He will give you many children. He will give you your cows, many cows. He will give you a good harvest in the land that the Lord promised your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open his storehouse where he keeps his rich blessings. He will send rain at the right time for your land. He will bless everything you do. You will have money to lend to many nations, and you will not need to borrow anything from them. The Lord will make you be like the head and not the tail. You will be on top, not the bottom. This will happen if you listen to the commands of the Lord your God that I tell you today. You must carefully obey these commands. You must not turn away from any of the teachings that I give you today. You must not turn away to the right or to the left. You must not follow other gods to serve them. And as I read Deuteronomy 28, Old Testament, some of you may not know where Deuteronomy is, but it's in the Old Testament. And as I was reading that during my study time for tonight's message, it reminded me of America. It really reminded me of America, because America was built on, it was a nation built on God. It was built on the word of God, and somewhere it's turned horribly wrong, and you know, and sin. We know it's sin. It's sin that has taken place, and you know, people have taken the Bible and the word of God. They have taken the word of God and they've utilized it for their own personal gain, and they've taken it and manipulated it to justify how we treat people. We've used the word of God to justify how we're going to do things. And God is not pleased. And it's obvious that God is not pleased. And I don't believe that things that we're going through in the world as a whole, I don't believe that the things we're going through is things that God is doing as a judgment. But I truly, honestly believe that God has lifted his hands, that he has said, okay, you want to keep doing things your way. You want to keep living the way you want to live. You want to keep coming up with your own rules and your own laws and making everything, making sin okay. You want to keep hating, and you want to keep doing what you want to do. And God is saying, enough. I'm just going to lift my hand, I'm going to leave you to your own demise. I'm going to leave you to the choices that you made. You chose hate over love, and you chose sin over purity. And God is saying, okay, these are things you chose, and now that these things are manifesting, now that these things are becoming their real life. And see, they were very small. It's one thing when you take a pencil and you put it behind your ear. The pencil is lightweight. You know, you don't hardly notice it's there, but you'll start accommodating for it. And if you don't pay attention, your head will begin to kind of tilt. Why? Unconsciously, you're trying to compensate for that pencil that's behind your ear. You're compensating, and you don't even realize it. See, we've been compensating for sin. You know, it used to be a time where you could watch TV and you never even seen a sex scene. You wouldn't even see somebody in the shower, even if you couldn't see their body. Anybody remember those days? I might be telling my age, but you didn't even see a kiss. It was barely, you could barely see a kiss. A lot of things were left to our imagination. And if you didn't have a filthy imagination, then it was just wholesome. But nowadays, you can see everything. You know, nowadays, I mean, it used to be a time for people who wanted to even watch pornography or see pornography. It was in a magazine, or you had to go somewhere in the dark. See, sin is always in the dark. You had to go somewhere in the dark. There was these little movie things, bookstores, and when you would come into the bookstore, it looked just like a regular bookstore. But if you wanted to see all the dirt, you had to go into the dark. In the back, there was a dark, and you see these movies. Some of you could relate to what I'm saying. See, sin is always in the dark. Sin always want to take you into a dark place. It's sneaky, because sin don't want light shedded on it. And so now, sin, you know, it used to be things that it was dark. So it's telling me that because we see it now, it's out here. It's not because it's the light. It's just because now the world is a lot darker than it was. And it's getting darker and darker because sin is prevailing and we've become comfortable with sin. Things that we used to be uncomfortable watching on TV, we'll sit up and watch now. Things that we was uncomfortable hearing in music, we'll listen to now. You know, it used to be a time where people felt like I had to be married to have, you know, I want to be married to have sex. I want to be married to live together. I want to be married to do these things. But now people don't feel like they have to do that no more. Some people used to say, you know, so many different things, not just so many different things. And we come up with reasons why we could do it. You know, oh, I'm living by grace and not by law. But the word of God is saying that, you know, yes, Jesus came. He came for that purpose, but he didn't come for things to get worse. He didn't come for us to just marinate in sin, because that's not what he came for. He came for us to give us liberty in him. He came so that we could start learning that through him we can walk this walk, that we don't have to live lifestyles of sin, that we don't have to continuously stay in the same pit, in the same rut. And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on people's toes. We all need help, because, see, everybody got something that they're dealing with. I got some thorns in the side that I deal with. Everybody got things that they deal with, but I'm going to call sin, sin, and sin is sin. And when we start compensating for sin, then we're in the condition that we're in now. That's what we see in the world. What we see in the world is not black. It's not white. What we see in the world now is not cops against civilians. What we see in the world right now is a world that has been consumed in sin. It's a lawless world. And people are just doing whatever they want to do. And it didn't just start now. This is progressive. It's been started centuries ago. And it continues. It's progressively gotten worse. And the more it's gotten worse, the further away from God we got. We're a nation now that don't honor God. And because we don't honor God, God is not honoring this nation. And that's what we're seeing. So, Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for your very presence that's been here on tonight. Father, we just pray that we can leave here, Father, with revelation knowledge. We pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord. For those, Father God, that have not experienced the Spirit of God, Lord, I pray right now that even as I speak, that you would touch them, Father God, that they will have a Holy Ghost revelation experience, Father God. Lord, that they will know your very presence, Father, that they will know the Spirit of God operating in the inside of them, Father God. Lord, that they will not have a predefined idea of what that looks like or how it feels or what they have to do or how they have to act, but, Father God, that they will know that they know when they experience it, Lord. Father God, I thank you for your word, that it is life, that it is productive, and that you watch over to perform it, Father God. Lord, teach us how to speak your word back to you, Father. Father, in every situation that we would speak your word, Father, so that we could begin to see the manifestation of our prayers, Father. Father God, help us not to be sacrificial people, but Father God, that we will be people of obedience, Lord. Father, that we will show our love towards you through being obedient and following your commands, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you on tonight. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, Father God. And I thank you for the insurance. I thank you for the insurance that I was able to be a beneficiary of the benefactor. And because of that, I benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank all of you for listening in on tonight. I'm going to take a couple of minutes. We do have a couple of minutes left. So if you are listening in on tonight and you have a question or a comment about tonight's show, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. I'm going to give about a minute, not even a good minute, 45 seconds, if that is you and you want to dial 1. One of the things I'm going to do, as I always do, is that if you are unsure that you have paid your insurance policy, but let me get this caller real quick, and I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to let you think about this while I'm bringing this caller. If you are unsure that you have paid your insurance premium or that you have an insurance policy, whether it be in the natural or the spiritual, and you need to discuss that, then I'm going to ask you to dial 1-2. Caller, area code 209, last 4, 8433. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Hello, Pastor. How are you this evening?
I am blessed this evening. How are you, woman of God?
Oh, I hear what you're saying, and I believe it wholly. I have my insurance policy because I know that the Lord Jesus I am his benefactor, and what I see today saddens me. It saddens me. I am in tears. Mm. I am crushed, and I know that the Lord will hold me up during this time, but sometimes it gets really, really hard, and it breaks me. And I trust in the Lord, but sometimes it gets to be a little bit much, and I don't know how to handle that. But through Him, it gets to be much.
Well, I want to have a prayer with you because you're not the only one that's feeling like that. And like I said, I think all of us have felt some forms of that. I know I did. I know. The week before last, I mean, I gave a show, and it wasn't even a show. It was really just me pouring out my own emotions about I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know how to feel as a believer. I didn't know how to feel as a black woman. I didn't know how to feel. You know, it's just a lot. So, Father, I lift up my sister before you in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I pray that you would just give her peace that passes all understanding, that you would comfort her in these times, Lord. Father God, help her to see the condition of the world as you see it through your eyes, Father. Father God, that you are not a God that sees tags. You don't see black or white. You don't see sickness and disease, but all you see, Father God, is sin. And so, Father God, help us to see as you see, Father God, and help us to bring, help us to bring the same solution that you're bringing. And the solution to the problem, Father, is love, the love of Jesus. And Father God, I pray that we will be able to be vessels to carry that love into a fallen world, Father, to carry that hope into a fallen world, that we will be, as you have commanded us to be, light in dark places, that we will be the salt of the earth, Father God. Lord, that you will continue to give us revelation, knowledge of your word, and Father God, that you will give us what we need to be good laborers to go out there, Father God, and reap a harvest of souls for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Amen, my sister. Well, I say stay encouraged during all this. And I always, one of the things I notice is that whatever you give your attention to, that spirit will come and live inside of you. And when we give too much of our attention to media, whether it be news or social media or whatever, we see all this stuff going on, and it carries spirit. And it'll cause spirit of oppression and depression and fear and worry and doubt. And the more I find that I pay attention to this, and, you know, people sending you different videos. So sometimes you just have to shut yourself off from the world so that you don't get so consumed and contaminated with what's going on out there, because then it makes our walk very hard, because now we're in the flesh. And the God said that if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I know it's hard. It's not easy. But the good thing is that we have someone that's on our side that we could go to get what we need to get back on track, to get refilled, to get refueled, so that we could continue on in this journey that he's called us to. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for supporting the show, and thank you for being a blessing on this evening. So, again, thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, if we have any other callers, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment, or maybe you just need prayer. You know, many of us it's okay to say, I'm afraid. You know, I see people dying. Some of us have loved ones or friends that we know personally that have died from this COVID thing going on. And maybe you just, you know, want prayer. You know, you're tired of living in fear. You're tired of worrying about, you know, if you're going to get sick or if your family's going to get sick. You might need prayer for that. Or maybe you've been through some things and you see the things that's going on in the earth right now, and it's causing you to feel bitter or to feel angry. You know, those emotions, natural emotions of anger and things you feel like are coming up in you, and you just feel like, man, you know, I just need prayer. That's the time. And if you don't tonight, find somewhere. They don't have to be on Processing the Pain. Doesn't have to be Coach D, but find somewhere to get prayed, you know, get prayed for. Find somewhere and some way to get into the Word of God. If you don't understand the Word, find a mentor. Find a spiritual mentor, somebody that could help you to understand the Word of God. Don't just start assuming, and don't start just taking everything you hear, because if the Holy Spirit is not activated in you, you could start hearing things and you could misconstrue. Because people normally, when people bring forth bad news or not so good news, especially when it comes to persecution of the Bible or persecution of the church, is generally, they're coming and they're not coming with the Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of the accuser. And he's trying. We're in the last days. And I know people don't like to hear that. You've been hearing it. Some people feel like they've been hearing it their whole life. But the Bible is unfolding. And if for people that don't believe that the Bible is real, for people that don't believe that, this is just something man made up, or this is, I'm telling you, it's unfolding. Revelations is unfolding. It's unfolding. And there's no respecter of color. God is not the God of color. God don't care if you are white or black. I've heard people say, oh, this is a white God. And why are you serving? You know, God is a spirit. He's a spirit. And he's not a God of the whites. And he's not the God of the blacks. And he's not the God of the reds or the yellows or the browns. He's not the God of this. And then he is God. He is I am, all sufficient. and he is a spirit. And if you start understanding that you too are a spirit housed in flesh, you are a spiritual being housed in flesh. God is not trying to minister to your flesh. He's trying to minister to your spirit. Your spirit is of liking unto him. Your spirit was created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God. Not us, how I look on the outside, not my spirit, but my flesh. I mean, not my flesh, but my spirit. My spirit was created in the image of God. When God is trying to speak to you, he's trying to speak to your spirit, man. He's not trying to speak to your flesh. God don't care nothing about your flesh. God don't care what your flesh needs. He's very concerned about what your spirit needs. He's very concerned about you being spiritually nutritious, spiritually nutrition. You know, that you have the nutrition that you need for your spirit. Well, I can get that out. But he's concerned about that. He's concerned about your spiritual life. You know, and thank God he loves us enough that he do. He's concerned about everything that concerns us. But he's not over won over by our flesh or what we feel like we need in the flesh, because every time we get into the flesh, we normally get in disobedience to him. The flesh don't know that and the spirit don't know the things of the flesh. So we want to make sure that we're spiritually healthy, so that we can continue to hear the voice of God when it speaks to us. It's hard to hear the voice of God when we're in the flesh, because the flesh has a tendency to be noisy and loud, and it makes it very hard for us to hear God. Amen. So, again, I want to let you all go. I thank you again for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Please tune in again next week. We're here every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Central time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, and we bring various topics each week, different subjects, but mainly right now, all the subjects is going to be based in the spirit of salvation. That's where we're at right now, and we know that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, and so Processing the Pain want to be a good laborer to bring in the harvest. Amen. Thank you again for tuning in. Know that you are loved and appreciated. See you all next week. If I